Welcome to the Now Believe podcast.
But God is quickening our spirit to begin to activate this stuff, where we become a doer and not just a hearer. And I promise you that if you will actually do what we talk about tonight, that your life will be radically changed. You will never be the same.
Amen.
Back in the 40s and 50s, in the United States, the great healing evangelists began their ministry. They were birthed through prayer and fasting and seeking the face of God. They would go into a meeting and God would just do amazing miracles, lots of salvations. And after the meeting, the people would run up to him and say, "Whoa, that was awesome. You know, let's go celebrate. Let's go get something to eat." And they'd say, "No." And they would go back to their trailer where they were staying. And they'd get on their face before God and cry out for the next night. The next night they would go in and there would even be greater miracles, greater signs and wonders. There'd be piles of wheelchairs and canes and glasses and hearing aids as God just miraculously intervened in the lives of people, transformed them. Salvations like you would not believe. Slowly, the emphasis began to change from seeking the face of God to building their own ministry. Unfortunately, most of them did not end well, as you know the story. It's actually reported that two of them got into a fist fight before one of the meetings. They became very competitive. One got a big tent, the next one got a bigger tent. Advertised, "I've got the biggest tent in the world," so another evangelist had one made 3 feet bigger so they could say, "I've got the biggest tent in the world." One started a radio program, another one, "Well, I've got a television program." "Well, I've got more stations than you've got." You see, they were able to carry on the momentum of how they started, but it didn't last long. Slowly, the anointing began to lift, and they did not end well. It's not how you start that counts, it's how you finish. And my prayer is that every one of you in this room are going to finish at the highest level of spiritual maturity.
Amen.
That you are constantly contending for more and more of God's presence. I don't know if I can, maybe a little dark in here, I don't know if I can read some of this from the Word, but in 2 Chronicles chapter 26, let's see if I can... I may have to just tell you this. It's a little dark. In 2 Chronicles chapter 26, we read the story of Uzziah. And the Bible says that Uzziah was 16 years old when he became king, and he reigned for 52 years. And he was a man who was given over. Oh, cool.
Right.
That's okay. I'll just kind of... He's got it on his iPad here. Look. Can everybody see that? Awesome. Okay, so just hold it there and then just scroll it up for me here.
That's
became, yeah, but in verse 5, that he sought God during the days of Zechariah, who instructed him in the fear of God, and as long as he sought the Lord, God gave him success. God prospered him as long as he sought the Lord. He became a great king. He was mighty in battle. He built fortified walls and cities. He owned much livestock, property. His fame spread all over the world, for he was marvelously helped until he became strong. When he became strong, he acted corruptly. And he became unfaithful to God. And he went into the temple and he offered a sacrifice on the altar, which he was not allowed to do. Now, as long as he sought the Lord, God prospered him. He became extremely prosperous, but then he became proud. He saw the accomplishments as though it were the result of his arm of the flesh. Look what I've done. Pride entered into his heart. Prosperity is one of the biggest tests that you'll face. To stay true to God and to keep seeking the face of God no matter what. The priest caught him in there and they told him, "You can't offer that sacrifice on the altar." And he said, "Yes, I can. I'm king. I can do anything I want to." They said, "No, you can't." They got into a big argument. Leprosy broke out on his forehead. And the Bible says that Uzziah died a leper, cut off from the house of God. But as long as he sought the Lord, God prospered him. He turned his back on the Lord in the midst of prosperity, and he lost it all. It's not how you start that counts. It's how you finish. God created you in his likeness and in his image for a reason. And that purpose is for intimacy, it's for relationship, it's for fellowship. God placed in your DNA a desire and a hunger and a thirst for him. And if there's not a burning passion for more of the presence of God in your life, it's because you've allowed too many other things to get in the way. It's all about the presence of God. It's all about the presence. God's all over this place. The worship just ushered in the presence of God. I mean, that's what this whole thing was all about. It was so beautiful. One time we were in a church, we were singing a song, and there's a lady in the back, and she was waving a flag. And some of the words in the song were, "I love your presence." And she was singing, "I love your presence." And all of a sudden, she dropped the flag, and she fell to the floor weeping. A little while later, she came up and testified, and she said, "I was singing, I love your presence." And she said, "God spoke to me. God said, I love your presence." You see, God loves your presence. He loves to spend time alone with his children. He longs for that. We're the ones that don't have time for him. We were ministering in Brazil, and one of the men came up to give a word of knowledge for healing. I think I can see this. He was not able to give the word because he ended up on the floor. He was shaking and he was vibrating for a couple of hours. We had to carry him to the bus to leave the meeting that night. But we asked him what happened. We had a voice recorder and we recorded it. Basically what he said was that God took him up into his presence, and he said there was a chest, like a big box on his, that was chained to his back. And the box was full of sin. And an angel of the Lord came and cut the chain, and the box fell off of his back. And then the angel took him under a waterfall, and he was washed clean and then taken into the presence of God. And God spoke to him and gave him a message to come back and tell us. Now, this is the message. Tell my people to wake up, because many are sleeping. There are many who go through the motions, but few who have entered into intimacy and relationship with me. What God desires above all things is to have an intimate relationship with each one of us. What God desires above all things, that's his highest priority, is to have an intimate relationship with you. And out of that intimacy, he will empower us and send us out to reach those who need Jesus Christ. Notice that the empowerment is a byproduct of an intimate relationship with the Father. Is that not good? Here, we'll just turn it around a little more.
This
way. Yeah, there we go. Is that okay?
That's good.
Good. Okay. You know, I used to pray for power. God, give me more power. I want more power. And I didn't know that God will entrust the power to those who become intimate with him. That has to happen first. The quicker that we enter into this relationship, the quicker we will be empowered and sent forth. And the quicker the world will be won, and then he will come and take us home. Those who choose to enter into that intimacy now, notice it's a choice. It's a choice that we make to enter into that quiet place alone with him. He would come and fellowship with him and be intimate with them even now. This is the message that I have for my people, to enter into intimacy through relationship. That's straight from the heart of God. God's desire is for an intimate relationship with each one of us in this room. Over in Psalm chapter 27, verse 4, David said, "One thing I've asked from God that I shall seek." One thing. It's his highest priority. He said, "One thing that I shall seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life." In other words, that I am going to dwell in His presence, beholding His beauty, that I am going to see Him. I am going to live in His presence. I'm going to see Him. And I'm going to meditate on the things of God. That was his desire. That desire was actually fulfilled in Acts chapter 2, verse 25, when Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost. He was quoting David. And David said, "I saw the Lord always in my presence, for He is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken." David saw the Lord always in his presence. We think of us being in God's presence. David said, "I saw the Lord always in my presence, for He was at my right hand, that I may not be shaken." Was the cry of David's heart in Psalm 27 answered? Yes, it was. He knew what it was to experience the manifest presence of God every day in his life. And then back in Psalm 27, God spoke to David and he said, "I want you to seek my face." Verse 8. David said, "God, when you said, 'Seek my face,' my heart said to you, 'Your face, O God, I shall seek.'" God has given us a heart to know Him. Jeremiah 24:7 says that God has given us a heart to know Him. And just like David, your heart's crying out to seek the face of God. God is saying the same thing to every one of us in this room right now. He's saying, "Seek my face, seek my face, seek my face." But we have a problem. Your heart is saying, "Yes, oh God," just like David. "Yes, oh God, I want to seek your face. Yes, oh God, I want to seek your face." But our flesh is saying, "No, no, no, no. I don't have time. I got to be here. I got to do this. I have this responsibility. I've got to take care of that. Well, I don't have time for that." The sad part is, which usually wins? Our heart or our flesh? Well, it's pretty obvious, isn't it? Psalm 86:11. David said, "God, I want an undivided heart that I might fear your name." An undivided heart. That's what I want. What is an undivided heart? An undivided heart is a whole heart wholly given over to God. What is a divided heart? Well, a divided heart is simply one foot in the church and one foot in the world. We like it like that way, because we have the best of both worlds. We can do the church thing. We can put on the smiley face and act real spiritual. And then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, we compromise our convictions. We act differently depending on who we're with and what we're doing. And there's no consistency. That's a divided heart. We compartmentalize our lives. Right? God, I don't want a divided heart. I want a whole heart wholly given to you. Psalm 46:10. Yes, it is Psalm 46:10. God made a very clear statement. He said, "Be still and know that I'm God." Those words, "be still," literally mean cease striving, let go, relax. It means to turn the volume of the world down and soak in the manifest presence of God. Be still, be quiet before Him. That's the condition. What's the promise? You will know that I'm God. That word "know," look it up. It doesn't mean an intellectual knowledge about God. He's not saying, "Be still and you'll have a greater theological understanding of the things of God." That's not what he's saying. That word "know" literally means an experiential knowledge of God. He's saying if we get still and we get quiet before Him, the promise is that we will experience Him. We will experience the reality of the Lord in our lives. No longer is God some theory. No longer is He just some guy a million miles away that's up there with a baseball bat ready to hit us over the head when we do something wrong. But we actually experience Him. And I want to tell you something. Nobody can engage in an intellectual argument against your experience. And when you've experienced Him in that close, deep, intimate way, you know what I'm talking about. And that's the cry of God's heart for each one of us, to come to that place of intimacy with Him. As a pastor, I was afraid that somebody would come up and ask me if I was spending time with the Lord every day. I didn't want to lie. I wanted to tell the truth. But I had always said that, you know, that my highest priority was to spend time with the Lord. So I'd get up in the morning, I would read a couple of verses in the Bible, I would pray, God bless the missionaries, God bless the church, God bring in more people in the church, God bring in more money in the church, God deal with the problem people in the church. Amen. That was my time with the Lord. And I could say, yes, I had time with the Lord. Now, don't misunderstand me. It's critically important that we read the Word of God, that we know the Word of God, that we study, that we have it deeply planted in our heart. It's critical that we pray and intercede. But God wants more than that. He wants time alone with you. And I realized that. And I thought, wait, I'm saying that that's my highest priority, but that's not what I'm doing. How many of you know that our priorities are not what we say they are? Our priorities are what we do. If you want to know what your priorities are, just make a list of everything you do for 1 week. And you'll find out where your priorities really are. So I said, okay, God, I made a decision. I said, I'm going to get up in the morning, I'm going to go into my office, I'm going to lock the door, and I'm not going to come out till I experience the manifest presence of God. I was going in there not to ask for anything, but more of Him. I would pray and read the Word at one time, okay? And now I've set aside this time to do nothing but seek the face of God, responding to the cry of my heart for more of His presence. So I went in there and I got down on the floor. And the first thing I did was I had to repent. I had to get my heart right. And then I began to cry out. I said, God, I'm not asking for anything. I just want more of You. I want more of Your fullness, more of Your essence, more of Your substance. God, just come and permeate me with more of You. And you know what? It wasn't 1 minute, maybe 2 minutes later, my mind went a million directions. I couldn't stay focused on seeking the face of God. I started thinking about everything else. And I started struggling with issues. And I would try to bring myself back where I was just doing nothing but seeking the face of God. You see, we get so used to seeking His hand. God, give me this. God, give me that. God, do this. God, do that. Right? That we don't know how to just get quiet and just to seek the face of God for who He is, not asking for anything but just more of Him. Yeah. I couldn't do it. I struggled and I struggled. An hour went by and I was getting angry on the inside because I couldn't stay focused and nothing was happening. And I thought, man, oh man, what is it? What is this all about? And then I remember, I said, wait a minute. I remembered that I made a deal with God. I said, I'm not coming out of this room until I experience Your manifest presence. So I just hunkered down again, and I began to pour out my heart all the more. I did everything I could do to focus on seeking the face of God. It lasted a short time again. I couldn't do it. Listen, 2 hours went by, and I was full of anxiety. I was looking at my to-do list, which wasn't getting done. I was thinking, this is stupid. I'm wasting my time. This is not working. And God spoke to me, and He said, wait a minute. I thought You said You're going to stay here until You experience My manifest presence. And I thought, uh-oh. Yeah, You're right, God. And I made the decision right then, if I died of malnutrition, I was not going to leave that room until I experienced the manifest presence of God. Do you know what I mean by manifest presence of God? Here's what I mean by it. You experience it most of the time in times of worship, because the presence of God is there. There's so much angelic activity in the room as we're worshiping God, okay? And so while you're worshiping God, you know, you may feel heat or electricity, tingling, shaking, crying. You may feel so light you could float away, so heavy you can't stand up. So peaceful, it's just like every weight is lifted off. It's like you don't have a care in the world. It's like that you come to a whole different place, okay? Those are just some of the manifestations of the presence of God in our lives. And so what I'm talking about is to come to the place of experiencing that at home by myself, not just at church. And that's the difference. When you come to that place of experiencing the manifest presence of God every day at home, I promise you, your life will never be the same. 3 hours went by. Still, nothing was happening. Now, was this a test? Yes. It was a test to see if I was going to be faithful, if I really meant business with God. Okay? 3 hours go by, and then slowly, I began to sense just the slightest little bit of the presence of God. And I got so excited. And I jumped up and I said, yippee! And I ran out of the room. No, that's not what I did. I said, God, that's good, but I want more. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1, Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up. The train of his robe filled the temple. That word filled, it doesn't mean boop, he just filled the whole place up. It means he came into the room, but more of him kept coming into the room. You realize that we grow in our ability to entertain more of the presence of God. Okay, well, so there was a measure of the presence of God, but I wanted more. I said, God, this is great, but I want more. I want more. And I want to tell you, it was a short time that the presence of God was so strong in that room, it was electric with his presence. Now, I didn't want to leave. I wanted to stay there the rest of the day. I could care less about anything else. It was so good. Finally, I did it. There was a breakthrough in my life for the first time where I can truly say I persevered, I contended for it, I pressed in until I experienced that manifest presence of God. I was there for a long time. Listen, it will revolutionize your life. But I want to tell you something. The manifest presence of God is not the goal. You say, well, wait a minute. You said, stay there till you experience the manifest presence of God. I did. The manifest presence of God is really the beginning point. That's the doorway. That's when things really get started. It's the doorway to the supernatural realm of the Spirit. If you are in the manifest presence of God, guess what? It's you and God, the two of you. Right? If I'm in Dom's manifest presence, I see him, I hear him, I talk to him, he talks to me, he sees me, he hears me, we have a relationship, we have fellowship, right? If Dom is in Kenya, is he in my manifest presence? No, I'm not in his manifest presence, right? When you get in the manifest presence of God, that's when you can hear his voice. That's when you can walk with him. You can talk with him. You can see what he's doing. That's when God gives you the download for the day. He gives you direction. He gives you wisdom. That's when your spiritual senses are activated in the manifest presence of God. Now, there's not time to go into all of that. You have 5 spiritual senses just like you have 5 physical senses. Your 5 physical senses keep you in contact with the natural physical world. Your 5 spiritual senses keep you in contact with the realm of the Spirit. You remember in Luke chapter 16, 2 people died, rich man and poor man. Remember, the rich man went to hell, the poor man went to heaven. And in hell, now the guy was dead. He had no physical senses, right? He was buried in the ground, no physical senses. But in hell, he looked up into heaven. He saw the poor man with Abraham. He cried out to Abraham. He said, please send that poor man down here with just one little drop of water. I'm burning up in agony in these flames. And Abraham said, no, sorry, can't do that. You've died. You're down there. He's up here. He's not going to go down there, and you're not going to come up here. It's too late. Right?
Yeah.
The guy in hell saw, he heard, he had emotion, he felt. He was in agony in the flames. He wanted a drop of water. Did he have his five senses active?
Yes.
Yes. What about John in the book of Revelation? He went into the spirit. He didn't go physically. He went into the spirit, into the spirit realm. Did he see?
Yes.
Did he hear?
Yes.
Did he have that, those emotions? Did he have feeling?
Yes.
Did he fall down, face down at the feet of the Lord?
Yes,
he did all of that stuff. But it was all in spirit. God is spirit. And those who worship him in
spirit.
Oh, wait. Worship him in spirit? God is spirit, right? Does he see? Does he hear? Does he feel? Does he taste? Does he have a sense of smell? Yeah. Right? The incense, right? God is spirit. He's got five spiritual senses. Right?
Yeah.
And so do every one of you. And that's how we connect. It's spirit to spirit. Your spiritual senses are activated in the manifest presence of God. That's when you're so sensitive to things of the spirit. The best time to spend time with alone with the Lord is first thing in the morning. When I say that, you think, oh no, you know, because we have this, we get into this religious mindset, well, that means 3 o'clock in the morning or 4 o'clock in the morning, or, you know, if we're really going to be spiritual, right? No. The best time is right when you wake up in the morning. Doesn't matter what time that is. If it's 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 6 o'clock, 8 o'clock, if you don't get up until 10 o'clock, if you don't get up until noon, that's the best time. Because during the night, you see, we have a built-in filtering system. It filters out all the junk from the day before. And just before you wake up, you're kind of in that twilight. You're just kind of half awake, half asleep. That's when you have more visions, dreams. That's when you're more spiritually activated because all the junk has gotten out of the way. You see, you can receive more in just a couple of minutes in those early moments with the Lord than you can any other time. That's right. So, huh? Yeah. Okay, so here's what we got to do. We got to take the time. We got to get into his presence. We got to stay there till we experience the manifest presence of God. You say, well, you know, I don't have 3 hours. I didn't either. That first day, it took 3 hours. The second day, it took, to be honest with you, about 2 hours. The next day, it took about an hour. After that, it kept getting shorter and shorter and shorter until, after not very long, it was like it was instantaneous. I learned to practice the manifest presence of God, to come into that place alone with him and connecting with him in a split second. Time is insignificant in God's scheme. And the flip side of that, and I think it was Martin Luther, he said, I spend an hour with the Lord every day. And he said, but there's some days where I've got so much to do, I'm so busy. He said, it's absolutely overwhelming and there's no way I can get it all done. And he said, on those days, I spend 2 hours in the presence of God. You see, we have it backward. But I want to tell you something, it's not the length of time, it's the quality of time. It's better as one day in his courts than 1,000 elsewhere, right? Well, I want to narrow this down to better as 1 second in the manifest presence of God than days and years outside of the manifest presence of God. More can be accomplished, like I said, in a split second. Time means nothing. I have spent time in the presence of God, and it's just like I go into the Spirit, and I am just soaking in his presence, and he's bringing revelation to me. He's speaking to me. He's giving me all these kind of downloads. All kinds of things are beginning to be stirred up on the inside of me. And it seems like I have just been with the Lord all day long. And I look at my watch and 5 minutes has gone by. And the reverse is true. where I've gone into the Spirit, and I'm disappointed because it ended so quickly. And I look at my watch and 2 hours went by. The other morning I woke up and the presence of God was all over me and I went right into the Spirit. And I want to tell you, I had an amazing encounter with the Lord. And it felt like it was a long time. And I thought, oh my, I've got to get up. I've got to get going. This was just before I left to come on this trip. I had so much to do. You know what I mean? And I rolled over again and I looked at my clock and 3 minutes had gone by. That's all. It doesn't take long. But it takes a commitment to take that time. You know, we talk about soaking. We really misunderstand what soaking is. Because you don't soak in order to get into the manifest presence of God. You don't start soaking until you're in the presence of God. You don't get wet standing on the bank of the river. It's not until you jump in. I've got one.
I got it.
Yeah. Yeah. But that is a good reminder because that would taste good right now. You don't get wet standing on the bank of the river. Right? Once you're in the river, then you start soaking in the water. And so it is with God. I'll give you a good illustration. Take a dry sponge and put it in a bucket of water. What happens? Well, nothing at first. The sponge just floats on top of the water. But slowly, the sponge begins to immerse until it's completely submerged. The sponge comes to the place where it becomes totally permeable. I mean, every cell of that sponge is permeated with water. And so it is with us when we soak in His manifest presence. Every cell of our being becomes permeated with His presence. And you take the sponge out of the water, what happens? The water just pours off of it, right? And that's what happens to you when you come from that manifest presence of God, permeated, filled, you overflow, and it spills out. And it affects every person that you come in contact with, and you become an environment changer.
Amen.
You walk into a room and the environment changes because you're there.
Yeah.
Because you are a carrier of the living presence of God.
Yeah.
I'll give you another illustration. You prepare a casserole dish, cheese, pasta, whatever, you serve it after dinner. You bring the bowl because there's still a little food left in the bowl and you set it on the kitchen counter and you leave and you're gone for 3 or 4 hours and you come back and you see the bowl and you say, oh no! What's happened? The food's dried and stuck to the bowl. And so you get out a knife and you start scraping, trying to get that dried up food off the bowl, and that doesn't work. So you get out a hammer and a chisel and you start beating away at it, trying to get that dried up food off the bowl. Or, after dinner, you can take the bowl, put it in the sink, fill it up with water, and let it soak. You can come back 3 or 4 hours later and turn it over. What happens? That food just pours right out. Right? No effort. That's what happens when you soak in the manifest presence of God. There are areas of your life that you've struggled with, you've battled, you've tried to overcome with the arm of the flesh. You've taken out your axe and you have chopped away at it, but it's still there. I want to tell you, when you soak in the manifest presence of God, that stuff cannot stay there. It can't stay there. And when you come from the presence of God, all of a sudden, those things start falling away from your life. There's not room for that and more of Him. As more of Him comes in, something has to go. That's the junk that begins to leave your life. I've had people say, yeah, well, you know, I tried it, you know, for a week, but it wasn't any big deal on me. You know, nothing really happened. And I thought, wow, that's really big of you to try it for a week. That's really good. I've been doing this for over 9 years now. I can't get enough of the presence of God. I want to tell you, I am a passionate lover of Jesus Christ. I'd rather be in my room up here in the corner right now on my face before God than standing here talking to you. It's that important with me. The biggest lie that the devil will tell you is that, well, nothing happens. Or like you try it for a season, and it's like, well, you know, that was nice. And, you know, you may get a little goosebump or something at the time. And then you just go about, you know, your daily stuff. And you begin to lose the significance of what happened, you think. And so the next day, well, you know, and then you just, well, I'll just take it. And then after a while, well, you know, I can just, you know, spend some time with the Lord while I'm in my car on the way to work. You know what I mean? And then, well, you know, that's kind of dangerous because if I were really to get caught up in His presence, I'd have a wreck, so I won't even do that. Okay? I'm just telling you how it happened. This is what we do. Okay? Listen, I want to tell you something. Something is happening when you are in the manifest presence of God. Something is happening. There is a transference that's taking place. The power of God is infused in you. The anointing of God begins to increase in your life because you're in the manifest presence of God. And though you may not see a noticeable difference immediately, over a period of time, God is placing a deposit in your spirit every time that you're alone with Him. And then at a time of need, as you begin to give out, that anointing begins to flow out of that which God has planted in your heart. When you need it, it's there. The gifts of the Holy Spirit, they're all resident within you, every one of you. And you'll see that the gifts of the Holy Spirit become active at times you least suspect. You can be on the street talking to somebody, and all of a sudden, you hear these words coming out of your mouth. And it's like, whoa, I didn't know I was that smart. Boy, I wish my mom could hear me now. What's happening? God is speaking through you. God is speaking to that person, and He's using your mouth to do it. Or you're walking down the street, or even somewhere, or even in church, you see somebody that you know, that's really sick, or you know, that needs a healing touch, and all of a sudden there's a boldness that comes over you that wasn't there before, and a confidence, and you go over and say, "Hey, can I pray for you?" And you lay hands on them and you pray for them, and they get healed. That kind of stuff starts happening. You're at the right place at the right time. You get the parking place. Everything, your whole life takes on a different perspective and new meaning because you're not walking alone. You're experiencing the fullness of the presence. The word says, walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. We spend all of our time trying to overcome the flesh. If we spend as much time trying to overcome the flesh as we did learning how to walk in the Spirit, oh my goodness, look out. Because when we learn to walk in the Spirit, and that's that spirit-to-spirit connection, it's the activation of our spiritual senses in the manifest presence of God, in His presence. That's when we have that sensitivity. That's when we get those impressions. We have those spontaneous thoughts that are actually the voice of God. And that's when we can see Him. That's when we have the visions. That's when He takes us. That's when He... Because I know a lot of you in this room have had the experiences, you know, where God's just taking you places in the Spirit. I mean, it's like you going to another country in the Spirit. That's real. That's real. All of that stuff happens in the manifest presence of God. You all are familiar with the Journal of the Unknown Prophet, right? Okay, you got to get it. Journal of the Unknown Prophet. Write it down.
Wendy.
Yeah. It was compiled by Wendy Alec. You know, Roaring Wendy Alec, God TV. She doesn't claim authorship to it because she had a visitation from the Lord. And she just merely wrote down what the Lord was saying to her. And so that's what the whole book is. And it's a now word for the church today. And reading that book, it's like reading the headlines of the newspaper of the events going on around the world right now. It's amazing. But I want to tell you, this is a part of it. And remember now, this is the Lord speaking. This is on page 123. And so I would say to you, until you, and you can get it through Amazon.com, or God TV. And so I would say to you, until your congregations seek me, Jesus Christ alone, I tell you indeed, you will not see greater things. For instead, you seek the miracles. I watch and my heart is torn as I see my sent ones seek the signs instead of the sign giver. They seek my wonders. Yes, they seek my power and my anointing. And I see their congregations following in pursuit. And they seek the signs. They seek the wonders. They seek the anointing. And so I tell you, my hand is removed from all of these. For in this dispensation, I tell you that my signs and my wonders will only be given to those who seek me, not for the power they might receive or for the anointing they can carry, but because I am their life. I am their very breath. And so I stretch my hand across the earth seeking for a people who would seek my face alone. Seek my presence, for it is to those who love to be with me. It is to those alone who would seek only me, not my gifts. It is to those whose lives are laid down for me. To these beloved ones, I shall pour my spirit out upon them. I shall pour my spirit out in these end times as I find these ones I trust. And as I watch them only worship me, not for my power or for my anointing, but for the wonder of communing in my presence, then I shall move my mighty hand and I shall pour out a portion of my spirit upon these precious ones. Not one portion, not two, but manifold. And I shall raise them up, and they shall be as flames of fire, and they shall yet speak and utter my word, and my presence shall fall on the multitudes. And the fire of my presence shall fall, and so shall the multitudes bow down with their face to the floor. And so shall my power flow in might, in magnitude, in conviction, in healing power, in miracles. And this is the great outpouring that shall come from my sovereign hand upon those who truly love me, upon those beloved ones who seek only my face. For surely they are the ones who hold my person and my presence dearer than their ministry.
Oh, Jesus.
For they want to be with me more than they want to be used by me. These are my beloved. These are my trusted ones. And so I shall release them in the four corners of the earth with passion and with power, with might and with fire. And they shall light a flame of my spirit from east to west and from north to south. And my healing power shall flow. And miracles of a magnitude hitherto unseen shall manifest. And as the lightning, so shall my power and anointing manifest in these end days, and all the nations of the earth shall be touched by it. They shall know that I, the sovereign God, creator of heaven and earth, has visited them in power, in majesty, and in judgment. And skipping way over to the back of the book, some 100 pages later, page 232, says almost the same thing again. And so it is that in this time the Father himself shall arise, and in your closets and in your secret chambers, those who have truly loved me, those who love my presence more than they have loved their own ambitions, those who have loved my presence more than they have loved their ministry, to those who have loved to be with me more than they love to be used by me, It is to these that the Father shall reveal His majesty and His consuming passion for His creation. That's a word of God for us for this day. You know, the Bible says that Jesus emptied Himself and He became like you and I, right? And Jesus would often withdraw to be alone with His Father. He'd get up early in the morning. He'd go out into the wilderness. He would stay out all night. Even when the crowds were pressing around Him with great need, and this was so convicting to me as a pastor, Luke chapter 5. They were pressing in all around Him for all of these great needs. And He actually slipped away from the crowd to go out to be alone with His Father. Why was that? If He felt a need to spend that time alone in intimacy with His Father, how much more do we? You see, something happens in that place with Him. The compassion of God becomes yours. Your heart becomes His heart. His heart becomes your heart. You become one with Him in reality. And everything begins to change in the manifest presence of God. You see, when we think of compassion, you know, the Bible says that Jesus was moved with compassion. We think of compassion as being passive. It's like it's sympathy or feeling sorry for somebody, but that's not what it is. Compassion is active. Every time Jesus was moved with compassion, He did something. He healed the sick, He raised the dead, He cast out demons. There was a manifestation of the presence of God through a heart of compassion that He got through soaking in the manifest presence of God every day. And so it is with you and I. We begin to see people differently. We begin to do what we do out of a heart of compassion for them, not out of duty. We miss so many opportunities to minister to somebody because we're looking at the outward appearance and we're not looking at the heart like God is seeing them. But when you've got the heart of God, you've got the eyes of God, you begin to see everything from a different perspective. 1 John 4:17 says, "As He is, so also are we in this world." Jesus spent time alone with the Father. How much more should we? We have that heart of compassion. We respond differently under every kind of circumstance. During a time of extended times of just soaking in the manifest presence of God, we were down in Medellin, Colombia. We were ministering. And during ministry time at the end, this 19-year-old girl came up. And she was the daughter of one of the pastors in the church. It's a very large church. It had several different pastors. She said, I got away from God. And she said, but now I've come back. And she said, but people all around me are experiencing just the presence of God. It's like they're just right there with Him and all these wonderful things are happening to them. But she said, nothing is happening to me. She said, what's wrong with me? And the heart of God, the compassion of God came over me. And I said what I said, not out of presumption, but out of the heart of God. I knew the mind of God. And I spoke to her and I said, what do you want God to do for you right now? And I knew that whatever she said, God was going to do it. There was no question at all. I knew it. I knew that I knew it. She said, when I was 1 year old, I was in an accident. And it cut the retina, a piece of glass cut the retina of my eye. I'm blind in my left eye. And she said, the doctor say, I will never see out of that eye again. And I looked at her with that compassion of the Lord from soaking in the manifest presence of God, knowing the mind of the Lord, hearing His voice. I said, God's going to heal you right now. Again, I did not say that out of presumption. That's important. In the past, I did a lot of stupid things out of presumption. And it was not birthed from the heart of compassion. It was not birthed by the Spirit of God. the discerning of spirits kicks in, and you know that you know. I knew that I knew. And when you know that you know, it works. So, I said, God's going to heal you right now. I prayed for her. I began to pray for her. And I said, okay, test your eye. And she covered up her good eye. And you know what? She couldn't see anything. Nothing. Now, did that discourage me? No. Do you know why it didn't discourage me? Because God said He was going to do it. He just didn't say He was going to do it the first time I prayed for her. So I prayed for her again. She tested her eye. She still couldn't see anything. That didn't discourage me in the least. I knew that God was going to do it. Okay? So God was preparing her to receive it. And guess what? It was another one of those little tests that we go through. See? I knew the heart of God. I knew God spoke. So it was because there wasn't a manifestation of it right away. Does that mean I miss God? Does that mean God's not going to do it? Do I give up? Do I quit? No. So what did I do? I said, let's pray again. We prayed again. She checked her eyes. She went, I can see the outline of your head. We prayed again. I can see your eyes and your nose and your mouth. We prayed again. I can see your face clearly. We prayed again. I can see further. But it's all black and white. We prayed again. God, give her color. It's all color. We prayed again. I can see farther. It was a big, the church seated 2,500. There was a sign way in the back corner of the church with her good eye covered up, the eye that the doctor said she'd never see out of again. She could read the sign. God totally healed her. It was a miracle. It was God. The pastor of the church said that is the first real, first-hand, bona fide miracle that he'd ever seen. We were back in the church last summer. She's totally healed, still healed, serving God, loves God. You see, God did that. That is a byproduct of soaking in the manifest presence of God, because there's a cumulative effect that happens. The more time you spend in the presence of God, the more stuff like that happens. We were ministering in Cuba. And we were there legally. You know, we had a permit from the U.S. State Department to go and preach the gospel in Cuba, and we had a visa issued by the Cuban government to preach the gospel. Wow. Totally legal. So we're in this church. I wanted their team to pray for the place over. They were outside looking in. There's a balcony up. They were hanging over. They were everywhere. And so I want our team to go by and just impart to every person there, just quickly go by and just touch every person there. And I felt impressed to go upstairs. And I started over in this corner in the balcony. And I started working my way across. And I would lay hands on, you know, I was just blessing them. And like that, as they were seated, I was going behind them. And I laid hands on this one man, who's an elderly man. And so I was ready to go to the next person. And it was like my hands were stuck on his head. And I thought, well, you know, because I just did just kind of a quick blessing, you know. And I thought, well, you know, I guess God wants me to pray more for him. And so I prayed a bunch of stuff, you know, all the stuff I could think of. And so, and I'm thinking, you know, we got a long way to go. We got to get all these people. And so, again, I mean, it was like somebody nailed my hands to his head. Now, to be honest with you, I could have pulled my hands off. Do you know what I mean? But there was that, hey, no, because of the sensitivity to the Spirit that is developed through soaking in the manifest presence of God every day, of seeking the face of God. That is a byproduct of that. There's that sensitivity to the Spirit. Before, I would have just overrode that, and I could very easily. I would have just overrode that because of my agenda. We got to get this done. So we were going down the line. So I said, okay, God, I did my thing. Now what do you want to do? Finally. You know what I mean? And so I felt impressed to look over his shoulder. I looked over his shoulder, and in his hands, he had glasses. They were the thickest. It looked like double Coke bottle bottoms. I mean, they were the thickest glasses. I don't even see I could see them. They were so thick, they were cloudy looking. And I thought, oh, that's it. And so from behind him, I just laid my hands over his eyes like that. And I just prayed a quick prayer, just asked God to heal him, just open his eyes that he could see. And instantly, he started blinking like that, looking around, tears started coming down his cheek. He picked up his Bible. He could read his Bible. He jumped up shouting. His family, they were hugging and kissing and carrying on. He went down in front of the whole church, and he told the church what God just did. Then, at the end of the service, he was at the door of the church, shaking hands with everybody with the biggest smile on his face. You could not get out of that church without talking to him. And he said, God healed my eyes. I can see. I can see. God healed my eyes. He was giving glory to God, every person that walked out of there. Now, that is a byproduct of soaking in the manifest presence of God every day. The manifest presence of God as a doorway to the supernatural realm of the Spirit, where our spiritual senses are activated. And then we learn to know between the physical senses and the spiritual senses throughout the day, because we have the discerning of spirits. Mm-hmm. And so we're more sensitive to those little impressions, those little words, those little thoughts, and what we see in the spirit beyond the natural. And we're quick to respond because we know the heart of God now. As He is, so also are. Write your name in that verse. As He is, so also are you when you die and go to heaven.
No.
Dom, are you the only one in here that knows that? As He, you know what it says? As He is, so also are we in this world today, right now. You represent Jesus Christ to the world. And when you are walking in the Spirit, you're not carrying out the desires of the flesh. You are filled with the Spirit of God. Everywhere you go, the Spirit of God is emanating from you, and people can see it. They can see it on your countenance. You know, we let off that Spirit around us. You know what I mean? You know how you just kind of pick up what's going on with somebody? Because their spirit is larger than they are, and you pick up on that. Well, when you are walking in the Spirit and you are filled with the Spirit of God, guess what? People know it. They pick up on it. They're drawn to it. Now, you're becoming like Him. How do you become like Him? By hanging around with Him. By spending time with Him. You become like the people that you hang around with, right? For good or for bad. That's the biggest problem with our children. They hang around with the wrong kids. Guess what? How do they act? What happens if they start hanging around the good kids? Well, we say, well, yeah, that's kids. As adults, when we hang around with the wrong people, what do? Do we raise them up, or do we lower ourselves down? The more we hang around with Him, the more we're going to become like Him. That's the key. This is foundational. It is the key to success in life. I want to tell you, I was a charter member of the Martha Hall of Fame. I could serve God better than anybody. And I felt like it was going to get done, and it was going to get done right. I was the one that could do it. But I was just like Martha in the Bible. Jesus! Tell Mary to help me. She's left me to do all this serving alone. After all, Jesus, I'm doing it for you. I'm serving you. Martha, Martha, you're worried and bothered about so many things. There's only one thing that's important. Mary has chosen the better part, to sit at the feet of Jesus. That's what it's all about. When I saw that, I decided that I was sick and tired of the Martha anointing. And I tore my Martha badge off and I threw it away. And I joined the Mary Club to sit at the feet of Jesus. Listen, I pastored for 30 years. I saw a lot of Marthas over the 30 years. And to be perfectly honest with you, most, not all of them, but most of them were like Martha in the Bible. they would do the serving, but underneath there was the grumbling, there was the complaining. How come I let get left? I'm the last one. How come I do the dirty work? You know what I'm saying? But you know, when we get the heart of Mary and sit at the feet of Jesus, the Martha anointing changes. Because then we're not doing what we have to do out of duty, but we're doing it from a servant's heart. And that's the greatest in the kingdom. Everything changes. It's a matter of the heart. It's getting his heart, his way. In Joshua chapter 3, verse 3 and 4, long in there. Joshua had taken over for Moses. They were preparing to go in and cross the Jordan River. And they were given instructions. And the instructions were this. They said, when you see the Ark of the Covenant, the Levitical priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant. They're going to go across the river first. Okay, what is the Ark of the Covenant? Talk to me. It's the presence of God. It's the manifest presence of God. Okay? Who's carrying the manifest presence of God? The priests. Who are the priests?
We are.
We are carriers of the living presence of God. The instructions were the Levitical priests are going to carry the Ark of the Covenant and that you are to go after it. Go after the presence of God. Contend for the presence of God. Press in for the presence of God. Don't let anything stop you short of the full-on manifest presence of God every day of your life. Verse 4, the last phrase at the end says, "For we have not gone this way before." If you want to go where you've never been before, you got to go after the presence of God. We say we want more. We want more spiritual experiences. We want more supernatural experiences. We want to get just blasted into the heavens. And we want all of this stuff. But I want to tell you, it's a byproduct of the manifest presence of God. God is preparing the church to go where we've never been before. The things of the world are beginning to pale in comparison to the things of the Spirit of God. Our spiritual senses are being activated like never before, where we stop paying attention to the desires and the lusts of the flesh, and we start getting on our face before God, finding out what He wants to do, and we do it His way. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. And this is what God is saying for the church today. He's saying, seek my face. Experience my manifest presence as a doorway to the supernatural realm of the Spirit. I want to challenge you to take time every day, the first thing in the morning, whatever time that is, it doesn't matter, as long as it's the first thing in the morning. You take that time. And initially, it may take a while. It did me. It took 3 hours. That was a test. You may undergo a test. It's not easy. Because our lives are so cluttered. We've got so much stuff going on that we've got to learn to get still, to get quiet before Him. So we make a decision. If you make an appointment with the doctor and it's, 2 weeks away or whatever, and you change your schedule, you do what you have to do to get there, right? How much more important is it to make an appointment with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and to keep that appointment every day. Every day. So what do? We set aside time first thing in the morning to go into His presence. Not asking for anything. Remember, read the Word and pray at one time, but take this time alone to do nothing but develop an intimate relationship with Him. You can do it non-verbally. There's communication that happens between you and God, and it's non-verbal communication. You don't have to be talking if you get still and quiet and start listening. Your homework is Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Basically, it says, draw near to listen instead of griping and complaining. It says, draw near to listen rather than to offer the sacrifice of fools. God is in heaven, we're on earth, therefore let our words be
few.
We do so much talking, God can't get a word in edgewise. It's time to get quiet, settle our spirit, come into His presence and stay there. And as you begin to experience the manifestation of His presence, whatever that is, because everybody responds differently, but you know when you're there, stay there. That is the beginning point. That is the doorway. I keep saying it over and over and over because I really want you to get it. That's the doorway. Don't just think, oh, this is good, and stop. That's the starting point. That's when God gives you wisdom. That's when He answers questions. You know, we've got decisions we've got to make. Every day there's things that you're dealing with in life. God begins to put the pieces together for you. That's where revelation comes from. You'll find that dreams and visions begin to increase. Everything that you desire, spiritually speaking, comes from the manifest presence of God. It's all there. We have access to it because you are right there with Him. And He is rubbing off on you, and you are becoming more like Him the longer you do it, the more you do it. Every day. Do it. And I promise you, you will never be the same. Your friends are going to wonder, what happened to you? You're going to be like Moses coming down from the mountain. And you're glowing so much that they can hardly stand to look at you. You're going to be like Peter walking down the street. And they're going to shout out, here comes Peter. Put your name in there. Let's pull out the blind and the lame. Because as you walk by, they're going to get healed. Because you're a carrier of the manifest presence of God. Got it?
Yeah.
It's so simple, but it's the most difficult thing you'll ever do. The enemy doesn't want you doing it because he knows that if you do it, he's going to lose his grip over your life. And he doesn't want you doing it. So he's going to give you every reason not to. So I want you to just take a moment, and I want you to just to make that commitment in your heart. Now, this is not a brain thing. This is a heart matter. Okay? So I want you to just do some business with the Lord. Make that commitment right now. But I want you to do more than that. I want to take just, oh my goodness, it's 10 o'clock. I know some of you have to leave. Feel free to just, you know, leave. Seriously. You know. If you get through before I do, just quietly slip out. No. Okay. So, but I think we'd be remiss if we didn't do this. So let's take just a moment and let's just do business with God. Just in your heart, respond to the cry of your heart. Your heart is crying out to God to seek His face. Listen to your heart.
Jesus.
Father, we thank you for your manifest presence in this room and for stirring our hearts to seek your face. God, that we might draw near to you. You said in your word, as we draw near to you, that you'll draw near to us. And so, God, we take that step. Lord, we take that step daily. Every day. To seek your face. To experience your manifest presence as a doorway to the supernatural realm of the Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Remember now, it's during these times when we go to Him, we're not asking for anything. We're going with a blank piece of paper. We're not going with our agenda. We're not asking His blessings on anything. We're just saying, God, I want more of you. More of your fullness, your essence, your presence. God, just permeate me with more of you. And as you do that, you will. And there's a cumulative effect that happens over a period of time. Not too long ago, God spoke to me in my time alone with Him. But by the way, I always keep a piece of paper and a pen handy to write down what God says. And God spoke to me and He said, the more intimate you become with me, the more instinctively you do the right thing. Everything changes. We've got to draw near to Him. We must come in close proximity to Him. That's what it's all about. Now maybe you were getting into something and I stopped you. I'm sorry, forgive me. But you can pick back up where you left off. You can go back to that place with Him. Anytime. Are there any questions? If yes. Yes.
Just by praising Him. And the more I praised Him, I was on my own. The greater I felt His presence. You're absolutely right. You don't see it, say anything. I just started to break down and cry because the presence was so powerful. But what I wanted to ask you is, would you say that the glory of God is different from the presence of God? Because I've experienced both, and the glory seems to come in different colors, almost. Or is that just me perceiving that?
Well, you're perceiving it that way. See, the glory of God, there's a lot of different aspects to the glory of God, but it could be boiled down to one simple definition, and that is the living presence of God.
Yeah.
It's a manifestation of the living presence of God, basically. And so, but we can experience that to different degrees, obviously. But we're being transformed, we're being changed from one degree of glory to another degree of glory as we behold His face, as we're coming into the manifest presence of God. More of Him rubs off on us. So, I tend to look at the glory of God as a manifestation of the living presence of God. Yes. Because in the living presence of God, anything can happen. Healings, miracles, signs, wonders, you name it. Anything can happen.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sometimes
when I most of the time, most of the time when I go to Daddy God's presence, I get really tired. Like, I just want to go to sleep. And that's so annoying. And almost every time. And it's so tiring to push through. And it is amazing, but does that happen ever?
Yes. Yes.
I just want to go to sleep.
Okay, no. I give you permission to go to sleep. Provided you connect spirit to spirit first. So See, because you said when you connect with the Father, then you
then it's like, fine.
Yeah, because what happens, remember, it's spirit to spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, read down. I don't know what verse it is. 11, long in there. Somewhere in there. The connection is spirit to spirit. It's God is spirit. We worship Him in spirit. That is our spiritual senses activated in His presence. If you come to the place of connecting with Him spirit to spirit, and then you go to sleep, you are communing with Him while you're asleep. Physically, you're asleep. Spiritually, you're connected with Him. You can wake up from a time in the presence of God where all of a sudden clarity of thought comes, wisdom, the plan for the day, revelation, decisions, whatever it is. You see, you can wake up, and while you're asleep, you can have a dream that's totally of God, and God's preparing your heart. He's revealing destiny or whatever. See? So don't feel guilty. But you got to connect first with the Spirit. And then if you fall asleep, that's okay. Because that's basically what happens early in the morning. You know, you're half asleep, you're half awake, and you're awake for a while, and then you kind of doze back off again. Your spirit is connecting with the Father. And you're being fed.
It's kind of in that period where you go through like the distractions and... It's kind of in a period where you're going through the distractions and like before you break into His presence, it's like the devil's just trying to put like oppression and like heaviness.
Oh, absolutely.
That's right. Yeah, the devil doesn't want you doing that. I'm saying, make that breakthrough. If you fall asleep before the breakthrough, stuff can still happen, but it's not going to be much. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So make that connection. Other questions?
Have you seen any angels in here?
Oh, yeah.
I've seen angels in here tonight. I've never really seen angels before, but I've seen angels. I saw one behind Helen. And actually,
he's saying...
Okay. I just asked Gary whether he'd seen angels in here tonight. Because I've very rarely seen angels, but I started to see them tonight. I saw one behind Helen, which I've just described to Helen. In fact, he'd moved right behind Helen. So I actually didn't go into the presence. I just stayed within the spirit looking around here. I saw Sophie's, who was sort of kneeling behind you with long flaxen blonde hair. I just wondered if you'd seen any other ones. I saw three over here too, but I couldn't really describe them.
Yes, I saw worshipping angels all over the place.
Helmets. You had a
group of them hovering all around above the whole room. And that's very significant because that is a barrier or it's like a protection that allows the open heaven.
Yeah. I saw yours, and you had a helmet. A girl in a helmet with like a on the top, and yours also had a helmet on. So they were like warring, they were like protecting angels.
Right. Yeah. Good. Okay. Yeah. Any other questions? Okay. I know it is getting late. And what I like to do, some of you may need prayer for a physical condition or whatever, and you may have come saying, I want Gary to pray for me. Well, you know what? The man of faith and power is nothing but a man of paste and flour. And God designed the body of Christ for us to minister to one another. And you all carry an anointing for healing.
That's right.
You've been experiencing the manifest presence of God tonight. So those gifts are available and are being stirred up. And so if you came for prayer, I would encourage you to grab somebody and have them pray with you. I know, Dom, I don't know who, you've got different ones that know what they're doing in this. But you say, I'm not one who knows what I'm doing in this, so I'm not going to do it. No, you are the most qualified. Okay? So... no excuses. This is getting out of the boat. This is starting to practice this stuff. We're going to become a doer, not just a hearer.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're going to function like the body of Christ, like we're supposed to.
Yeah.
Every member, every member functioning, that's the proper working of each individual part. That's what causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. Okay? So you got the anointing. You got what it takes. And so y'all can pray for one another, minister to one another. This has been awesome. Thank you, Dom. Thank you, Tim.
And just turn your chairs towards each other or something and just minister to each other. Thank you, Gary, that was so good. So what I need, such a just the message. So thank you. Yeah. So get prank. And just as you go, for those of you that have to go, please give something in the love offering. That would be really good. To bless Gary, we'd really like to bless him. And do pray for him. You're off tomorrow? No, Thursday. To Germany? Yeah. And Kathy as well, who's overseas in rest. Pray for them both, that'd be great. Thanks so much for coming.
Tuning in to the Now Believe podcast. We'd love to see you at the Growing in the Supernatural course. For more details, please email talk@nowbelieve.com.